Gardner.
Here.
Danny Cumberledge.
Excused.
Alan Starnes.
Here.
Shirley Brown.
Here.
Jack Foster.
Yep.
Marita Gunderson.
Here.
And Lomovic.
Here. Very good. We do have a quorum. We'll move right along to approval agenda. Is there any additions or deletions? Not hearing any this evening, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion's been made by Marita. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded by Shirley. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Jack?
Yep.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Amel?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. Moving right along to the consent agenda, we have one item this evening. It's the minutes of the regular meeting of March 13, 2018. Has everybody had a chance to look at that? All good? Look good. Does that then entertain a motion to adopt?
Make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Motion's been made by Shirley. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Amel. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. Roll call, please.
Marita?
Yes.
Amel?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. Moving right along this evening to reports. First on the agenda is our finance officer, and Krista, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Raw fish check for February was $27,529.30. Sales tax revenue was $45,302.69. Does anybody have any questions?
Everybody have a chance to go over all the numbers? Anything while she's here? Questions? Comments? Not hearing any. We'll be moving right along. Thanks, Krista. Second on agenda is our administrator, and Lamar was going to his last evening with us, and I guess he's not sitting on the table with us this evening. So, but anyway, it is in our packet. I'll just kind of run through it, and Jordan, if you want to pop in on anything. In fact, if you want to, get your feedback right off the beginning.
Yeah, sure. So the new dock design and future construction, as mentioned earlier, we met with PN&D Monday, just kind of go over where the it stands right now. They mentioned it's the fender that needs the most attention, so try and roll that into the work schedule. The timeline still is moving slowly because it's federal, then to state, then down to here, so it's just more moving parts, unfortunately, but it's on schedule as of now. Boat Harbor, so we did discuss Boat Harbor with PN&D. They pointed out some advantages, disadvantages of what's been proposed now with the furnished fabricate versus installation. Essentially, if it's a unitary design build bid, you have one overarching contractor and they're responsible for the subs, whereas this is two separate entities working together or not, as the case may be, which can lead to cost overruns. So, if everything goes smoothly, it can save some money. If not, it also is somewhat more prone to cost overruns, generally speaking, which is not to say that it will happen, but that's out there, and there's some fine strategies later on. The clinic lease, we spoke with Jennifer yesterday about the financial implications of getting the funding. Generally speaking, clinics in the condition and same size as one in town receive roughly $250,000 $300,000 that filters down from IHS. So they're working with us to get that. We will submit a draft contract, and then we'll bring obviously it'll involve Brooks because it's substantial money, and then there may be liability as applies to maintenance or other future costs. So hopefully we'll have that for the next meeting. Airport, it's still moving along. I guess the significant development is that the state has agreed to cover the startup costs. Initially, Penn Air had pledged to do that, but the state either found money or they know something we don't know and just putting the money forward. But again, good news either way. So we'll go see Danny next week or the week after, get a letter about, you know, say the really reduced costs, but there's going to be likely a small fee added on to cover the 139 operations. So basically you need a desk, it's the fire truck, the ARFF.
Our
truck will be, its fees go into that. Signature's done. TDX, we attempted to meet with Mr. Lyons yesterday, but he was not in the office. He unfortunately had some personal issues to deal with, but we will still invite him out for the May meeting. Get an update from him. They broached the topic of selling the utility. Whether or not that was, you know, you think you guys are so good, you can do it, or as an actual, you know, valid offer, just, you know, testing the waters. We're not sure yet. But at this point, you know, obviously utilities, there's big liabilities. There's, you know, RCA, there's the fuel issue, there's liability, there's any, you know, legal outstanding issues. So before the city decides or, you know, considers committing money to it, it's something we want to flesh out a bit more. I think you kind of get a better read on what their situation is. Let's see. Other issues. I've just been trying to get to speed. It's kind of like drinking from a fire hose at times, but that's good. It's good to stay busy, stay out of trouble that way. And I'm excited to be here, and I think there's some good things in the pipeline coming down. So,
yeah.
Excited.
Very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Any questions for Jordan? Thank you. I know Lamar's just missing his last spin. But we'll see where that goes. We're not going to commit any money to that, but that's a little interesting that all of a sudden, we talked about this afternoon, that they decide that they may want to let go of the utility. It does come with lots of risks and whatnot, so we will definitely test the waters and see where we go from here. John had mentioned coming to town. You guys were at that last meeting. He was talking about, he didn't have much say. He said he's not doing a good job of keeping in touch. So what we did was we did ask him what it would cost or how he can help us to start with, like, this building. There's a community center and others on what it would cost to get those, the setups for, like, the school and the clinic have. And he hasn't really come up with too much on that, but if he's talking in the $100,000 range. If he doesn't remember correctly, he did offer the grant money, an original grant that set those up, but it was supposed to have been free of charge for the X amount of buildings. And anyway, we haven't gotten there, and he's supposed to come back to hopefully enlighten us on something in that direction. So we'll see where that goes. With that, thanks again, and not hearing any questions, we shall move on. We'll go to the Department of Public Safety, and Hal, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Hey, thanks. Sorry for being late. I'm working with DRS to get our internet up and running. Brought them in. But, yeah, it was a pretty status quo month. We did have a couple of fairly major cases, couple felonies. We had a pursuit that the guys did an outstanding job on. We got that individual caught, charged, and in the process of the court system with that. We had a couple burglaries at a teen center. We have some suspects in on that, and we're actively working that. One thing with that, I would encourage the community, one of our suspects that I can't name right now, but has been hawking many items around town, from tennis shoes to cell phones to iPads, and I would encourage people, if they're missing items, to contact law enforcement. Even if it's a pair of shoes, let us know so that, you know, like we found out about an iPad and we were able to solve that today because we actually got the information. So I would encourage people to bring forward when they're missing something, cell phones, watches, things that shouldn't be gone, to please give us a call, because it helps us out. Because a lot of times, because we're a small community, there's not a lot of places for it to go, and we can usually make a good recovery on it. Sergeant Nierman and Officer Anderson have been working diligently on our evidence room that hasn't been really gone through in many years, and we're starting to make some real good process on getting people property back that's been sitting in our evidence room and should have been returned many years ago. So we've actually sent out a lot of items to people that you know, have been basically wondering what's going on with it. So the guys are doing an outstanding job at getting that cleaned up and getting this stuff back to the people that it should be back to. Oh, goodness, it's so much going on. So our internet update, DRS is out. They came out today. They're going to be out here for 3 days. And talking to them, originally I told you it'd be anywhere between 300 and 1,000 bucks for equipment. Right now we're sitting at about 350 that we've spent. And I'll know tomorrow if we have to have a different switch. If we have to have another switch, it's probably going to be close to the 750 to 900 range. But I'll know tomorrow. But they think they can use a switch that's already at the team center. But I'll know tomorrow. So they're doing a real good job of, like I said, they're coming out here. They're not charging us to do any of this work. They're not charging us. They're just making us pay for the equipment. They're paying their time, their hotel, their per diem, their flights. They're running the wires, doing all of this. They're probably saving us, I'd say, a good $5,000 to $6,000 in just maintenance alone. So I know there's been some heartburn in the past with DR, but I can tell you that for the public safety, they have really stepped up to the plate, and they're doing good things. Our school resource officer position, Officer Anderson and I have been working with the school, and they're in the process of checking out whether or not they can afford in their next budget to actually send Officer Anderson to school resource officer training down in Washington. That would be covered by the school district, and that would put our officer a couple of hours a week, a couple hours a day during the week when Dave's here up at the school actually interacting with the kids, doing different curriculums and public safety training and things like that, and actually just building that relationship with the children in the community. I can't say enough about the Drug Task Force. There are some things that I can't really speak of, but there's big things in the pipe. There's been some big arrests that are still ongoing. One thing I can say is actually on my flight, I got to watch them in action. We had a gentleman come into Sandpoint that had 9.5 grams of heroin and methamphetamine in his rear end, and they were able to make that arrest and seizure, and that's about $27,000 worth of dope. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they've been doing. I know Glenn is a little bit more up to speed on what's been going on because he's our main guy, and even I can't tell him. But there's a lot going on, and I can tell you that in the last few months we've seized more dope and cash than they probably have in the last several years combined. Sleece is doing a great job. Investigator Sleece is just doing an amazing job. He's brought two federal cases already in the month and a half he's been working that have gone federal. It's amazing the work that. So hats off to you guys because you're the ones who stepped up and put him in that position. And I know the community has been very, very thankful for what's been done. So hats off to you guys for taking that step because there's not a lot of communities that have done this. And it is making a difference. I hear it every day from people that, people are snorting raid now because they can't go out and get their dope. So, yeah, weird stuff. So I couldn't be happier with what they're doing. The fire truck, I think you guys know that we put into Dutch Harbor for that fire truck, and I'm hoping that we get chosen for that. That'll really help us sustain our fire department, give us a more rounded department where we actually have a structural rig. We really don't have a structural rig right now. But this is a very well-kept and maintained vehicle. So hopefully we'll find out in the next 3 to 4 weeks if we get that. It's donated. We just have to pay for the shipping to come from Dutch Harbor over. So with that, there's more to come. We're going to be getting our fingerprint system now. We got the internet. We'll be up and working in the next couple days. The high-speed internet in our office, again, that's being donated. We'll get our fingerprint system up. And so May 5th, they're flying people out from Florida to train us all in and set up the system. So my hope is that by the end of June, end of July, we'll be up and running with all of our stuff. And we're getting there. It's looking more and more like a real police department.
Very good. Thanks, Hal. Questions?
I noticed in the report there was an underage person on a four-wheeler. I was thinking maybe when Dave gets back, right at the end of school, we could administer another one of those safety.
Yes, I apologize. Yes, we are working with Dave because he's going to be the resource officer on doing that. We want to do one class at least the end of this year, possibly one in the summer, and we'd like to do one in the fall. And one of the other things we're looking at trying to do, we looked at doing possibly doing driver's tests and everything here, but I consulted with Glenn and we found out that if we want to do that, we have to give up our road system off-road system status. So that means, you know, if we did that, we could have a DMV actually in our police department. You could do all that. That means we lose our status and you never get it back. So we just kind of thought, well, it might not be a creek we want to paddle up. But what we can do is teach driver's ed. So we can't give the test, but we could possibly teach. So that's one of the things we're going to be working with the school, that Dave would teach driver's education at the school as part of the public safety. And so there, we're working what we can to get those programs going, but the ATV thing will be definitely rolling here shortly.
Give the kids a chance before school's out.
Yeah, exactly.
And add a few more to the list.
Yeah. No. But yeah, thanks. Other questions, Jordan?
The siren, how did that go today?
We went up. No, it sounds like it's not a battery issue. The batteries were at 14 volts. But apparently, we were talking today. We couldn't, it was hard to get up there because the Trident has that property and they're doing some rock to maintenance the road. But when they dumped it to get it ready, it blocked all the accesses. So actually, hats off to Kim. He humped through the alders with the ladder and got up there and took care of it. So he did a great job. But we're going to try to figure out what's going on with the radio room and why it's not triggering to go. So we'll be working on that this week.
Okay, great. Other questions? Not hearing any. Thank you. And I will give a call into Frank. So I've seen him in Anchorage. I think he was heading back home. So okay. I'll give him a jingle and see where we stand on that.
Okay.
I think we have an advantage. We're close. Like people probably have to pay quite a bit to get it somewhere.
Yeah. I'm thinking we got a good shot at it. Yeah. I think I explained it out in the letter pretty well of what we'll do and what we'll be taking care of it. So
great. Very good. Thanks. Okay, thank you. Moving right on along this evening to our Public Works Director. And Dave, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Good evening. Sorry I didn't have a report this month, but I'll have one for you next month. It's just been a week of getting back with the crews and a lot of catch-up. We have a few projects going on. We have a lift station that's giving us havoc right now, and we've had some pretty good water leaks. Tab Carlson's house was, all the plumbing was busted, and absolutely losing about, 30,000 gallons of water a day through his walls. So we got that shut off last week, and we know we have another leak because we're losing about 100,000 gallons a day. Found that leak this weekend. It's coming out of the road in front of the rec center, so we're probably going to be cutting up asphalt. I'm hoping not, but it's looking that way. We've been really busy, just fire after fire. Like I said, our PRV valve is messed up right now, putting 100 pounds of water pressure through our town, which is way too much. But it's a catch-up game. Things are going good, though. Getting the program for crushing going and been helping out a little bit with the lift stations. We'll be digging in the road here in the next couple of days. Maybe I'll wait till Monday.
Okay, well, very good.
We're doing good.
Thanks, Dave. And just in addition, we've had about this afternoon, we did hire on a new gentleman to replace Alan Hill, Joe Conover. He's probably going to be about the 1st of May. He comes with there's everybody got a different amount, but he has all the credentials we need to do the water and sewer deal. So he'll be coming in probably 1st of May. He's presently working up on the slope. He called yesterday afternoon, and he was sitting down with Simeon Balabutov, and Simeon screamed in the background. He said, "Say hello to everybody in Sandpoint." So he's still up there. He's been there probably 20-some years. So he's still head cook, I guess, up in the deal. So. Oh, can who has it? Yeah, go ahead if you don't mind. That's fine. The phone system not working. We're going to add Lamar onto the cell phone. Well, you can just set him on the table there if you don't mind, Shannon.
That's fine.
Oh. But anyway, so yes, we did. He'll be coming on about the 1st of May. Other thing that of interest,
You know, we have two police departments that we use for the police.
Can you get my phone on the table?
As of 10 years into the ownership of those buildings, we are able to rent them to whomever we want to. So we are going to be renting the one to our new water and sewer guy, and the other one's going to be rented to the Aleutians East Borough Finance Director, and they're going to take the other one. So we'll have those two apartments rented out and having some income in that. Can you hear us, Lamar, okay? Maybe not, but okay. Figure out the phone.
Yes.
Okay, very good. With that, if there aren't any more questions for Public Works, I think we covered it all, and welcome back, and thanks for the roads there. We keep on top of the little bit of gravel ones we got and a few potholes. That was nice, so we'll try to...
Next month, we're going to be hauling for ANTCH. I need to get with Glenn, and we'll figure out what we're going to charge them and stuff, but we have a couple thousand yards of material that we're going to be hauling down to the bottom of Kelly Avenue for the replacement of our outfall lane.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's a little more up on that. It's like 1,000 feet, if I'm not something in that range. But they're going to put the new outfall, and that's right below, up by my neighborhood, straight out. The other one broke off in the northwestern. A few pieces are bouncing around here and there. But they're going to assemble it, I think, on the beach at the spit and tow it out instead of putting it down there, because it's going to be harder to assemble down there in the rocky beach. So they'll do that and tow it out by a skip or something and put it back in. But they're going to need to get access down there, so they're going to bring some of the bigger rock down. And I don't know, that's yet to be seen, in my opinion, but that's going to be interesting. They're going to put like a little thing down to the, like around into the beach. And to me, that was pretty steep, but I guess they are designers of roads, so we'll see how that works. A little bit scary, in my opinion, but there'll be some rock sales for us, so a little bit more happening in the community, and we'll sit down and get that taken care of, Dave. Thanks. With that, our harbor master, I don't know if he came in on a plane tonight, he might be pooped out, but his report is in the packet. Harbor is going full swing. I see boats busy doing this and that, so repairing engines, moving boats up and down, so I guess we're getting closer to that time where we'll be starting in for summer, so that'll be happening pretty quick. We did have a gentleman move from Public Works down to the harbor, so we're looking for a new gentleman up at the Public Works, so that's going to be posted. Harbor is full now, so that's moving right along. Possibly looking for a night watchman for the summer months. Our individual that's filling that spot is going to go fishing. And the other gentleman is out in the hospital and doing better, so hopefully wish him well and his recovery. With that, our student representative is in Hawaii, from what I understand. So some people get to, well, I don't know if it's too sunny, but I hear it's warm. So she's over there, so we'll forego that. And I think anything that I know about school, and Ingrid might have some more, but I think there's a government trip coming up or something. I think, is that this week or next? Oh, there's OSOG too?
Well, that is.
OSOG is coming up.
Oh, yeah, so that, I think, that's the big one, aren't they? Gone to D.C., I think.
They see New York is coming up this next week, and
yeah,
when they return,
OSOG
will happen at the end of April.
Yeah, so anyway.
And I believe the swim trip will happen.
Yeah. And that's King Cole?
And possibly Falstaff.
Oh, okay. So there'll be a few things happening in school, so we'll be hopping a bit before spring, I think, what, a month or less of school left? So I don't know where that year went, but a little bit on the fast side. But that's it for our reports this evening. Moving right along, hearings, ordinance, resolutions, nothing for this meeting. Old business is our FY17 audit results. We added that back on the agenda. I just need approval. We wanted to give everybody a chance to go through those. Did anybody have questions? We will try to answer. If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve our audit for FY17.
I'll make Jack? A motion to approve the audit.
Motion's been made by Jack. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Alan. Is there any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Very good.
Abel?
I was going to say, are we forgetting somebody?
Okay, very good. Motion carries. Okay, I don't know if we're going to be able to hear you, Lamar. We're going to move on to new business. I know there's a couple things that are all kind of informational, no action items, but I know you wanted to speak to them, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to hear you. If not, Jordan, I don't know if you're prepared to tackle those a little bit. But with that, Lamar, we'll start with the UAA. It's the SBDC assistance proposal. Are you able to hear us? And we'll give it a try, see if we can hear you.
I can hear you loud and clear, or a little better, I should say. Can you hear me?
I can. I think we'll be fine. I don't know about you guys. It's okay. Yeah, go ahead, and the floor is yours.
Well, a slight addition to the workshop conversation. I called executive director of the program after we got down to our meeting. He said he could do the survey as quickly, basically how much coordination the city can do with them to get the emails for the people that are interested in the survey. So I don't know if we require that in business licenses or we have access to most of those, but they can do that fairly on a quick base. And that will, again, be the rightful first step on deciding whether we want to pursue this issue.
Okay, well, we'll work with Jordan then, and whatever we need to do, I think we need to take that first step, and if it pans out, we'll go from there. If not, as we discussed this afternoon, so we'll go ahead and we'll take that first step, Lamar.
Sounds good.
Okay, any questions for Lamar on this? We've pretty much hashed it out this afternoon. If not, we're going to go ahead and head off to number two. It's the ATIA proposal, and I'll turn the floor back over to you then, Lamar.
Yeah, I think the memo is pretty straightforward. For us to get a little more detail on this would be for the staff, Jordan, to work with the ATIA, come up with a draft agenda. In the meantime, we'll figure out how we can get those people out there. Obviously notify people in town, particularly those who may have an interest in the topic. So I think it's pretty straightforward. The only cost to us is trying to how to get at least one person out there for that presentation.
And you're going to chat with Danny when you have your visit?
We're going to do that.
Okay, and for you guys, you weren't here this afternoon. We chat about a first thing that comes up to my mind that raises the back hairs on my neck is sports fishing and stuff like that that's going to would directly affect our fisheries, which, as we all know, we fight every day tooth and nail just to keep what we have. And the board isn't at all, you know, leaning in any other direction. We're tempted to look at maybe some hiking and some, you know, like bird watching and whatnot like that. And, of course, it'll be all open for public to come and speak to these things because, you know, how we all know how some of those things go and whatnot. And a little bit scary at times, but that's what we're looking at right now and to, you know, just take a peek at that. Because it has come across our doorstep, as you know, the cruise ships, I think there were three of them last year that utilized the petrified forest. And I think Shimigan for the scholarship fund received something like $7,000-$8,000 on that. So, I mean, there is some money there. And I know that to bring one of those in here, we don't have the infrastructure or whatever to handle that amount of people in the community yet or even where to deal with stuff like that. So I think kind of like a step to see where that might go. I don't know that, again, sport fishing seems to just jump up in front of everything and scary, so, but definitely talked about that. So, any comments, questions toward this at all? Jack?
Just one, and I don't know if I was on the borough or on the city at the time, but something to remember is that somebody told us, either the city or the borough, but, if those people decide to come, the town will either provide the services or they'll provide their own services. They'll come whether they, you know, you don't have one. If they're coming, they're coming, and if they're not kind of a deal. But, I mean, one thing that I keep coming back to me is the condition of the harbor. If we're going to have people, tourists, kind of stuff coming around here, but probably need to start cleaning our beaches up a little bit or something. It's pretty tough enough.
Well, the other big thing that popped up for me is Shimming Corporation owns this island, and if you start bringing in a bunch of people, tourism, hiking, those are our lands, and what kind of liability issues does that bring to Shimmigan? You know, so there's a whole bunch of other bigger questions that, you know, pop up before we even go this route, and you're going to have to be chatting with different entities before you can even make those kind of things happen. So there are a lot of different things, moving pieces in that puzzle. So did any, you guys have any comment? Like, you weren't here this afternoon, so.
You might check with Unalaska and their corporation. I think they have like 3 or 4 different law enforcement guys just keeping people off their property. And we probably wouldn't have a problem here because we don't have a population, but with their population of over 4,000, the local people might not get any berries if they turned everybody loose and just let them go on their property. So they charge them. They charge them to go on their property, and if they catch them without a permit, they fine them and what have you. So
it's something to think
they've
about.
They've dealt with them, so you might check with them for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was kind of for information, and if we move forward, and if we get this to happen and take that next step, we'll be bringing someone out, and it'll be well advertised to make sure that we get everybody here to speak their mind and give their opinions on what they think about even heading in that direction. So, very good. Did you have any other comments on that one, Lamar?
I do not.
Okay. With that, we're going to move right along then to number 3 is the new Sandpoint Boat Harbor funding strategy. And we talked a bit at length about this. For the folks that are in the audience, maybe you could just give a quick brief update on what you're looking at in that direction.
Well, it's a lot of it has to do with the, one, the relationship with the borough to try to encourage him to put on a bond on the ballot for projects. And it's convoluted, but I think we've laid it out there. The other ones are kind of internal staffing. It's looking at grant writing to have sort of more people chasing dollars at the direction of the administrator and the mayor. And then it's the whole thing about trying to educate the federal delegation about what we're doing here and start to work with their staff, people that can in turn make those phone calls to agencies with money. So it's a bunch of work. But I think it's the right way to do this. It doesn't happen overnight, but happy to answer any questions on it.
Okay. Thanks, Omar. I think what we're looking at kind of, and actually to be back to your days, which kind of what we were looking at, you know, how you guys funded projects versus what came down the road. So I think we're looking at any new avenues that we can to find to bring some money in it, because as we all know, those are all kind of shrinking up. So and I think those are some good ideas. If they floated some bonds and had some leeway for monies, I think we could do probably more projects. And I think you guys did the same thing, didn't you, back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the idea, and I think it's a good idea, and it puts a little more, it makes a lead. It's not going back, like you said, and we're totally leaning on the borough, or we're totally looking for federal and state dollars, which are pretty much non-existent at this point. So it gives us a little bit of different avenue to look for funding for some of the projects that need to happen. Of course, we're pretty much talking about that harbor that's sitting down there with nothing in it. So, as you know, the borough is sitting with they got a couple big obligations on front of them before I think they start looking at other things that happen. They got the transport from Accoon to Accutan is costing them a few million a year. They're looking at a problem right now with False Pass and the company that was in there working on the boat harbor sued the federal government and won a $20 million verdict, and the borough is liable for 20% of it, so they owe $4 million, and they're scrambling now to figure out how to they're going to pay that or see if they can seek to get it, you know, forgiven and have the government pick it all up. So there's a couple of big obligations that are coming on the borough side, which are a little bit scary before we even think about some of the other projects that are in front of us. And of course, we're sitting here yet with the King Cove Road project, which is moving forward. Keep our fingers crossed that maybe we can get that thing moving and get done so we can actually look at other projects within the borough. So those are some of the big things that are sitting in front of the borough before they can actually start working with us on that harbor down there and other upgrades that we'd like to see happen in that harbor. So hopefully, I think it's a good way to go, Lamar, and we'll see where that goes and move forward with that, and hopefully something happens.
Yeah.
Any other comments on that one?
not hearing any. I feel like we're going too fast. That's with that, we're going to open the floor up to public comment. So that's right at you guys. Go ahead, Ingrid.
I obviously do not have enough information to be as comfortable as I'd like, but I'm concerned about a couple of things. The first one was mentioned in the administrator's comment. It was the mention of an increased lease to the clinic and the history on the clinic. My understanding was that we supported the clinic by basically providing it a nominal lease. I think it was a dollar at one point. I'm not sure that it's still not a dollar, but so that they could provide health care in the community. And I'm concerned that we're talking about renegotiating that. And I understand the cost of maintenance and all those sorts of things. And I am telling you that I do not have enough information to really feel comfortable here. But, but we have had an aging population in Sandpoint. And I feel like the healthcare is just super important. And I feel like we, as a city, shouldn't be taking steps to make it more difficult to provide healthcare in our community. And with that same thing, it was brought to my attention that possibly in our public safety, we were transferring or considering transferring our ambulance service to EAT. And I could be completely wrong. You know, it's just a rumor mill sort of deal there. But you know, I remember us having a conversation September, October, about how we were going to improve our public safety in this community. We were going to improve the fire safety and improve our drug enforcement and those sorts of things. And I see great strides in those efforts. You know, taking a look at that Onalaska, I just read the newspaper on the Onalaska fire truck, and I hope that comes to pass or we find another way to do that. I know that we need equipment in that area. But if there is a consideration of transferring that ambulance service, which I consider a basic public safety service of the city, to EAT, which is an out-of-town service that's trying to provide basic service to us for healthcare, I think that's a mistake. And it's my understanding that possibly we're doing it at a time where maybe our certifications have become an issue. And if there's any possibility that that's a reality, I think that this council needs to seriously have a transition plan in place. And I think that transition plan has to include that all the certifications are above board, they're totally in place, and that we, that he has some magic funding plan to provide that service for us if that's what we're looking to do. And just having worked for EAT in the past, they're completely grant-funded for the most part, except for their contract monies, which are limited. And so if that is the case, they're going to be looking at floating dollars, magic dollars, to maintain a service that I think is absolutely vital. And I know it's vital because it's impacted my family so much in the last few years. So I want to raise those issues, and hopefully you have more information to share with me.
Yeah, twofold. Did you, if you don't mind, a couple things. First off, on the EMS, yes, it is a certification thing, and EAT has not at all tried to help or deal with us at all. We're on our third emergency thing. EAT has dropped the ball every single time. If this certification doesn't happen, there will be no ambulance. We cannot accept the liability to do that, Ingrid. It's a simple fact of it happens or it doesn't happen. At this point, if they don't do their job, it's not going to happen. We cannot do that. We can't open ourselves up for that. And EAT has dropped the ball on that. And there's a list of them that EAT has dropped the ball. And the other one that you were talking about those floating dollars and on the charging of the deal, as you know, they do have a free rent up there, but
what we're doing is we're not looking to charge. That may be coming. I don't get me wrong, that we may be talking to do that. They are working, and you weren't here this afternoon, but she's thinking they can get like up to possibly 300,000, maybe 100, 102. If something like that works, that would be fine. We'd be good with that. But they have got to contribute something, and that may be money that comes down from IHS. And we're working on that deal with them presently. Right now, and not the place to be chatting about it, but EAT has some issues. And I think if you come to a QTT meeting, you'll see those. And we're working hard with those people. And I really hope that they can get things straightened away so we don't have any of those things happen. And I think it's possible. I really do. But at this point, there are going to be some hard decisions that are going to have to be made down the line, and you know that's coming. They did get and granted, yes, their monies are grant funded. Their IHS contracting dollars. They did just receive almost $5 million. That's that it's put away, I guess, in some But you're right. Those kind of things are issues they got to deal with. But then on the other side of it, there's two sides to that picture. And we're trying to work together with them before we go anywhere. And you're not the only one who has problems with their family and medical. We've all been there. I've lost two of mine, and directly related with that. So you're preaching at the choir there. So, but we are working at it. That's very important. And believe me, everyone sitting at this table understands that. So, other questions, Dick?
I'll just make a little bit of a comment on the same issue. The city's been dealing with EMTs for a long time, and there's all kinds of things that are floating around out there that you could have been sued for a long time ago. Mostly local people don't do that. And that's what a lot of people depend on, that they're not going to do that. And I totally realize that life is changing, and some people may start doing that in the future. But I've called EMTs twice in my life. Twice. For the same issue. Somebody called me at about 1 o'clock in the morning and was fearing for their lives, and they had somebody else there gonna cut them up. Well, I didn't feel like going up and getting in the middle of a dispute and wind up taking a 44 or something and ended somebody's life, so I called with EMTs or whatever and never got an answer. And I called them about 10 minutes later again, and I never got an answer again. Twice in a row.
Is this recently?
Pardon?
Is this recently?
Last year, yeah.
911?
You know, that was really, really upsetting to me because I had health issues in the past, and had they not showed up or not answered the phone when I had health issues, I might not be here to be talking with you guys right now with my heart. And, that's kind of really concerning to me. And you mentioned issues that everybody has, Glenn. I touch a lot of different areas of this community a lot of different times during the day. And I hear so doggone much BS floating around that people, after a certain period of time and after they get hit with it enough, think it's gospel. And 9 times out of 10, it's not. So if you're going to address a problem, I don't think you should send one person to address the problem. I think that's hopefully the council sees to address the problem. And you should do it in front of the whole board for EAT, because, we've gone from a borough health department, through different things, wind up with EAT, everything. We've gone to different gamuts, and St. Paul pulled out and went with South Central. The more you cut this pie up and make the pie smaller, the less service you're going to get. And that's not a good thing. I've had some issues up here. My nephew, not darn near died. I mean, if they didn't send him to Seattle for some different antibiotics out of Anchorage. He probably wouldn't be here today. The doctors told us 3 or 4 times that he was thinking about pulling the plug on him. And he's walking around right now in town. So, you know, there have been issues. But just because you have an issue, you don't jump on the project and change it. Even school issues, I think. There's issues up in the school. Some things probably need to be changed. But you don't change your whole school system. I mean, we went from an accredited school to now we're not an accredited school anymore. That's BS. I mean, all these seniors that we have in Hawaii right now, I'll bet you, just off the top of my head number, at least half of them wouldn't make it in college. No way. Because they haven't had the core classes and they haven't been taught. Even when they have the classes, they haven't been taught by some of the teachers. And I don't want to get on a soapbox. I'm already on the soapbox. But I mean, there's a lot of different things, but I think a collective group of people working on those things is a hell of a lot better than one or two people.
Oh, and I totally agree with you, and I hope you guys don't think that we aren't going out there. That's, and Jordan may hit on this a little bit after I, but we are working with them. They Jennifer thinks that she can get us this money, and it's all part of that a continuing grant that would happen every year. Wouldn't even have to go there. I mean, those things we are working on. I mean, that's happening as we speak. The EMT thing and I, that 911 issue, I think you weren't the only one that had some issues there. I think that happened with a few other people. But the EMS thing is a whole other issue. And if I wish Hal was here a little longer, he could. And if you have a chance, chat with him. He'd be more than happy to fill you in on where, you know, the EMS thing is. Because
just one more comment on
EMS. Sure.
Their budget got cut by over $600,000 this year already.
From contracting dollars?
Yeah.
Okay. She never mentioned that.
They went into that with a total number that they've had for the last year or so. And
okay. No, we understand that, but it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a reality that we're going to have to deal with on every level. Ingrid?
You know, and regardless of what the issues are, EMS is a city function. I mean, I dealt with EMS out in Anchorage. We've had EMS here for forever. We've always struggled to keep it manned. We've struggled with the ambulance. I was with EAT when we went out and purchased this last ambulance, or maybe not the last one, maybe it was the one before that. So I have a pretty clear understanding of some of those processes. But I think the council does need to be involved. I think EAT works very well when you're all sitting down at the table together. They do well when you have both boards aware of all the issues that are happening. I think they function better that way. I personally think that Jennifer is a pretty wonderful person. I think she's done some pretty amazing things, and we've had some decent providers that have come through in the last few years that have done some great things by me and my family. But that aside, I don't know the certification issues. I don't know what all those problems are, and I'm betting you don't either. And what I'm asking is that before you move forward with any process that would dismantle a basic public safety function, that you sit down with that e-board and you guys hash it out and figure out what it is that you have to do to maintain that basic function. Because our population is aging. Right. And it's something. I mean, in Anchorage, I had an ambulance in my house in 3 minutes from a call, and I was in a hospital within 15 to 20 minutes. I can't get an ambulance to my house in Sandpoint in 15 minutes. And I know that's the volunteer issue and the nature of the game here. But I still appreciate that I can call and make it come and know that my city is supporting that. And so I'm just asking, however you move forward, however that process happens, that the city take an active role in making sure that they are involved as part of the solution in working with that e-board to make that happen.
Well, we're working on that. I just want to add, and as Dick can confirm, we're just trying to get that board to deal with that board, deal with those people. We can't even get Jennifer here to sit down and talk to us, Ingrid. We can't get him down there at the tribe to talk to him. we can't get that board. We not only should just sit down with this board, EAT board, we should be sitting with the QTT board too. All three of those boards sit down and chat together. Even the borough for that matter, because it is this whole region that deals with the healthcare. It's the same people. And they should be all at the table. Every one of them. And maybe we'd get somewhere. We have some issues all around. That's understood. And you're right. We need to all get together.
To maintain the service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
the goal of maintaining the service. Yeah. Not dismantling.
We're not talking about dismantling. There's other sides to that question. I would urge you to sit down and chat with Hal when you have a chance. Edie?
I appreciate these comments. Good. I've got my kids, my grandkids, and I'd like to know that they're looked out for. But I have a less serious comment that I've had for a number of months, and I never remember to make it. There was this bus stop that was on the street that nobody used, and then they put it down here next to a bus stop. There's two bus stops for the kids. And right now it's not that important. The weather's getting better, and they're going to be boarded up in a month. But before they moved it, I was going to always ask, why don't you put it on the corner, that four-way stop by the warehouse there? You've got kids down to the pop-off pizza place. There's not many, but there's kids there that have to come out in the weather and wait for their bus stop. And I look at the ground and stuff, and I don't know what would be the best way to put a bus stop there. But if it's feasible, if they can make it work, use that bus stop.
Yeah, no, he's listening.
Can I comment?
Sure, go ahead.
The only reason we moved the bus stop from up there because all the kids were growing up on that.
There was nobody there.
And the school decided this year, instead of picking up in two or three bus runs, they're picking up all the kids at one time. And we had 30-some people down there. We just couldn't get them all in one bus stop. So that was the only reason we drug that one down there. But that four-way stop, yes, there's a half a dozen kids that go there.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. They don't have a bus stop, yeah.
Maybe we chat with the shop class and maybe they could build us another one.
I was thinking about that before it got moved, when it was sitting there doing nothing. But.
No, good point. I cut you off, Jordan. Did you have anything to add to the other comments?
Yeah, just with the EAT clinic lease. So it's not diverting funds from EAT to the city directly. It's a separate funding stream because the city does own the building and does do the maintenance. So the separate funding source would flow to the city to help cover our costs. So every dollar the city could receive is not taking any dollars at all from EAT directly or indirectly.
For that. It's a different grant that presently I think it's at $30,000, but the federal government has changed up the deal and it possibly can go up to $3,000. That's what we're working on right now.
So it would help. Yes. It takes some pressure off EAT in the short term and long term. So.
Yeah. Any other public comments? Not hearing any, we'll close that portion. We'll move on to our council comments. And Jack, I said we're going to start with you this evening. We're going to...
Okay, well, I just want to say in regards to this EAT deal is that, we all serve, and we try to think we serve the town. There's some tough times coming. Free money training's done, and our budget shows it. All you got to do is look at it. And we're going to be, what do we do? Where do we take from? You're right. Health is what's more important. But so is drinking water and sewer plants and boat harbors, and this is just the beginning. It's going to get tough. It's going to get a lot tougher than this before this is over, unless somebody makes some magic money train in Washington, and I don't think that's going to happen. Just my comment to the public. Like I said, we try to work hard on a lot of this stuff. We try to be as fair as we can, cost down as much as we can. But it's not just one item. It's really easy to pick on one item, but then, like I say, you go back to our water and sewer and our roads, and you can look right out the window right here. We can't keep up with our roads. The edges of our roads are going to start breaking off. So it's just starting.
Good.
That's all I had to say.
Thanks, Jack. Alan?
I'll just say that I've got some 4x12s that we can build the base of a bus stop.
Okay.
The school kids want to do that.
I'll talk to Rob about that, too, and see if
I don't know if I have any siding, but I've got 4x12s for the base.
Okay. Anything else, Al?
Other than just, you know, we're listening. And they bring up a good point. If the whole council showed up on their doorstep, yeah, sat sitting in their lobby, we'd be hard to for them to just snub their nose, yeah, up at us and say we don't have time. Yeah. If the whole council and you showed up, and Jordan, we would be a force to be reckoned with.
We will work on it.
This away. It costs some airfare, though.
Well, we're trying to bring them here. Yeah. So, very good. Thank you, Alan. Marita?
No.
Okay. Shirley?
Well, I'm just curious how many board members are on EATS anymore. We have quite a few from Sandpoint that represent.
They're not all on there at the same time.
No, they can't.
They're rotated out at that point. There should be three.
Yeah.
But they're rotated and you don't have them all on in there at the same time.
So they don't all meet? Are their meetings open to the public?
Yeah.
But how do you know about them?
They must post them or advertise them somehow or other.
They're posted. I think they're posted in the post office.
I never seen them either, so I don't know. I ever seen them in the post office ever.
I've never seen a meeting for EATS posted.
That's cheating.
Probably posted in the clinic.
Yeah, they do. It's one per community, as Dick said, for the thing, and then a backup, and then same in each of the other communities.
But wouldn't it be nice if they had a meeting in? Represent a bunch of communities. You'd think they'd have a meeting in one of their communities once a year or something. So.
The
public can go and talk to them.
They do have meetings in the different communities. And a couple of times, I don't know if this year or last year, but they've gone, had a hard time getting into Akatan. So they've gone on the ferry, collected everybody through the region, and had a meeting in Akatan. And then after the ferry, went to Dutch Harbor and spent their time there. They came back and picked the EAT crew up. And the borough has done that as well, I think. They haven't done it lately. I don't think they've had meetings in communities lately with the borough. It's been Anchorage mostly, and that charter is not set up like that. The charter is saying that they're supposed to have
within the
all
region.
The meetings within the region. The only reason they're getting by with it is someplace along the line that designated the office in Anchorage as part of the borough.
Yeah. I think, yeah. To add to Dick's thing, and I think maybe, Jordan, when you venture downstairs to visit with Miss Jennifer and maybe myself, as is QTT has invited her out for starts, maybe when she comes, we're all included in that bunch. And then we even chatted, I think, at our last meeting, that possible whole board kind of thing. So maybe we just make sure that we all tag on to this one when it happens, because that point we can get everybody's issues on the table that we can chat about. So we'll work on that one. And Edie?
I think it's a good idea if she comes out with our tribal representatives on EAT, and you get our tribal government and our city government to all be able to brainstorm and come up.
Put them all in the same room. Yeah. Sounds good to me. So.
Something needs to happen. Always hear about the doctor was here after he leave.
I hear you, Jack. Sorry, Cheryl, anything else to add?
I don't have a doctor. I've never seen that doctor. Nobody ever tells me. Nobody calls me.
Right. Yeah.
I go see the nurse once or twice a year, and we're losing a real good nurse, and I think it has to do with administration.
Yeah, and we thoroughly discussed that at our last meeting, so that's one of the issues, Shirley, that we're working on, too, so... I think it's all the same kind of concern.
I remember years ago we had some really good behavioral health staff, and they got pushed out of town because they got too close to the community. And
it careful where you get down to just the reasons that people are leaving, because you don't ever, excuse me for interrupting here, but you never ever hear all the whole story. You've got to get together with the boards and have the boards tell you what the whole story is, because, I mean, I could walk down through the harbor from here and have at least three different stories. Yeah. And people take them for gospel, and that's, you know, that's not the way to approach it. And I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah, and I like to hear two sides of the story, and I don't believe half the things I hear from people, because, you know, I just think it's sad when I personally know some of the staff up there, and they left.
Yeah. I hear you on that one. I think we all understand.
Or they got pushed out.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I don't have any. But thank you all for coming in with your comments. So.
Good. Thank you. And Amo?
Yes. More about the EMS issue. They've been trying and trying for months to get classes here for EMTs. Our EMTs are getting uncertified. They're not certified to be on the ambulance anymore. Volunteers don't want to show up and volunteer and do anything. The ETT class, they've done that. The certification for the ambulance has been pushed off for months and months. So it's not just we're trying to get rid of this. It's that we're trying to work with trying to get it so that it's operable. And yes, it's hard to see, because I am also run on those calls, on the ambulance calls, and I see that I have to help out too as a driver. So, I mean, it's hard to see, because people need to get, you know, help, and they need to get there, you know, as fast as they can. And it's very frustrating, and, you know, I know the concern, and I hope that it gets better. You know, because we all need the service.
And it's not for a lack of trying. Emil just mentioned the 3-month thing. That was specifically pushed back by Eastern Lucian Tribes and the person that works there. We've been hard at that, and Emil can justify that through his wife. We pushed and pushed and pushed, and they just pushed back and just let it drop. And it comes to the point of, what do you do? It's not a point that we're trying to get rid of anything. It's the point where, when it comes to the lack of them even doing anything for us, we're in a spot. And right now, we're in that spot. And trust me, it is not for a lack of trying. And if you have a chance, please, if you ever run into Hal somewhere, just say you'd like to chat a little bit about the EMS, and he'll fill you in. I'm sorry, I took over. Did you have anything else?
No, that's fine.
Okay, Dick?
Yeah, let me make one more little comment. Very important. It's a little comment, but it's very, very important. The travel knife. They've been kicking around ever since they put that new engine in. Put no oil pressure.
In the one in the harbor?
The big one?
If you take the travel knife and kick it up to operating RPM, then it gets a little bit of oil pressure.
But they just came in, we spent $20,000 on that thing.
They've taken it apart, they've changed oil pumps, they did everything. There is no oil pressure. I mean, there has to be oil pressure, or else the engine wouldn't still be running.
Is it the engine or the hydraulics?
But somehow or another, the oil pressure not getting to the gauge. So the gauge, and they've changed gauges, they did all kinds of things to try to monitor the oil pressure in the engine. With that fleet on down there, I mean, you're going to have a bunch of crazy people if that thing burns up in the middle of the season, or in the middle of
talk of moon in the morning.
And they've tried everything. Everybody's telling them how to do it. Yeah. They've tried everything, and
there was a guy in for that. Yeah. I thought that was fixed.
When he put all that new stuff in on that travel lift.
It's still not working?
Well, it's working. I mean,
I understand that, but I mean, nothing's showing yet. Go ahead, Alan.
Mooney said at the last meeting, I think it was, he said that they'd installed the oil
pump. That's what I thought,
It worked. They put a new oil pump in it, and then it had, he said it worked.
it worked for a few minutes or whatever to when they first started it. It ended.
When the oil got warm, it went down.
Okay, well,
Detroit's do tend to bathe their parts in oil rather than like a cap that runs 70 psi oil pressure. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. But if it's zero, that's...
Well, I don't know if it's zero. It might be a couple pounds, you know. But I have a skip engine that runs the same way. If you let it idle, it only has about 4 or 5 pounds. But as soon as you speed it up, the oil pressure goes up.
Yeah, that's the same at mine. Yeah.
That doesn't happen necessarily with the travel life. So I'm just a little bit skeptical of it.
We'll chat with Moon in the morning about that one.
We had zero oil pressure brand new.
That one?
Yep. From Toma Diesel. Brand new. Zero oil pressure. And the guy was here at the time. We pulled him over. He called his bosses. He dropped the oil pan. He put something behind the spring to give it more pressure. And that was it. So... Now, I don't know what's going on now, but that's when the motor was brand new.
Hmm. Well, good to know. We'll definitely jam
something in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why we didn't go to Tacoma Diesel to get that that V892 built.
For the fire.
Yeah, we went somewhere else because we weren't happy with the motor.
Very good. Good point. So, thanks for... Did you get everything in?
I did.
I'm gonna. If you want any last marks here, new boy on the block.
Yeah.
It's gonna take you a while to get your feet wet, so it'll be all good. So, very good. With that, I'll close that portion of the meeting, and I'd entertain a motion of adjournment. Motion's been made by Emil, second by Jack. If that's okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Not hearing any motion carries. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you all coming. And again, Ingrid, if you have a chance to chat with Hal when you get a moment.
And then Tim giving me the details.
Thanks for the comment.